A fictional example of an hour without internet, and that's a little exaggeration, but for how many of us would some of that ring true? That if we didn't have the internet, and we can't check our email or go on Facebook or any of these other apps that we have on our smartphone, or can't communicate to people, or couldn't work without the internet. And so, for most of us, living without bread is like, oh, it'd be an inconvenience, but living without internet, I don't know if I could do that. So in the same way that for those people, living without bread is just, you can't comprehend that. So Jesus being the bread of life, a modern day example of that is Jesus is your Wi-Fi signal. That he's your connection. He's the connection to the world. He's how you understand the world, how you connect with others. So the same way that you couldn't live without it, in a reality without internet, Jesus is that for you spiritually, to sustain you, to have you feel like you're part of something bigger, to understand the world around you. So we'll continue that after this, Jesus is talking with these people, and they're talking about manna from heaven. They're remembering the story of the Exodus and are asking him, are you greater than Moses? That Moses had manna from heaven. Are you greater than he is? So they're making these comparisons. Jesus is performing miracles with bread. Moses did the same thing. Are you greater than he is? So then Jesus continues with verse 66. After this, many of his disciples turned back, and what Jesus then said was, he's talking about bread, and he says, you must eat my flesh and drink my blood. And we understand that as Jesus is talking about a sacrifice. He needs to sacrifice himself. He's foreshadowing his death. But these people didn't understand that. So they don't get it. And they don't understand what Jesus is talking about. So this is what happens. After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. So Jesus said to the 12, do you want to go away as well? Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. And so other disciples, other followers of Jesus are leaving because they don't understand what Jesus is saying. They don't understand that he's foreshadowing his sacrifice. They just think that he's talking about cannibalism or something similar. They don't get it. And so they walk away. So Jesus turns to the 12 and says, are you guys leaving too? And Peter has such a great response here. Basically saying, where else are we going to go? I may not understand it, but you have the words of eternal life. I believe that you're the Holy One of God. Where else am I going to go? I find this response very helpful because sometimes I read the Bible and I don't understand it. And I say, why does Jesus say this? Or why is this in the Bible this way? Or I'm trying to live out God's word and I say, I don't quite understand how I'm supposed to do this. Or when things don't go our way and there's bumps along our life's journey. And we say, God, how do I live in this? How do I do that? How are you leading me? How are you guiding me? And we can have doubts and questions. And when I have doubts and questions, I always think about this. Where else can I go? The scriptures and what Jesus says, that's the words of eternal life. Where else can I go? That I believe that Jesus is the Holy One from God. Where else can I go? I may not always understand it. I may not always understand how to live it correctly, but other world religions aren't going to answer my questions. Not believing in God, that's not going to answer any questions for me. There's no hope in that. that even though I may have doubts, even though I may not fully understand it, even though things may not go perfectly for me as I'm trying to follow God, where else can I go? Those are the words of eternal life. I need to be there. And so when you get into those spots where there are doubts or it doesn't make sense or you find it difficult to follow the path that God has for you in your life, understand, where else can you go? And so we move forward. We continue on in faith, even though we don't have it all. As we look at John chapter 6, and we see the thread that's going through it, we see this theme of bread. Bread in a physical sense, bread in a spiritual sense. So we can ask the question, are you being spiritually fed? A lot of times you hear being fed as a way to describe a church. And so if people really like their church, they say, oh, I really like this church, I'm really being fed there. Or in the negative sense, they would say, oh, you know, usually about a past church, I stopped going to that church because I wasn't really being fed. And what they mean by that is increasing their knowledge about God or being encouraged or being built up or having discipleship opportunities. They mean a lot of different things by that. But being spiritually fed is really about connecting with God. Jesus is the bread of life. It's about connecting with him. Too often we see it as something to be received. That we see being fed as the picture of the mama bird coming back, you know, to the baby birds and kind of dropping it in their mouth. And so you think of, okay, a Sunday morning, you have the preacher who's up here who is preaching and then just kind of dropping some food here and there, and you just kind of open up and receive it, and okay, I'm being fed. But I think a different picture of that is one where you have an active role. I see my job as a preacher as putting together a table for you to eat from. Not just dropping it in your mouth, not spoon feeding you, that you're not babies. You don't need to be spoon fed. You can come up to this table that hopefully I'm presenting that has a lot of good food on it, and you can fill your plate and have your full. And then you get a doggy bag and you take some more to think about and ponder during the week. That you need to, for yourself, the same way that you need to sustain yourself physically, and so you need to eat. You need to eat something. We try to, and most of us know what we should eat, even though we don't always do it, but we know what we should eat to remain healthy, to have the right energy, to get through our lives. In the same way, we need to be looking after and thinking about, how can I fill myself up spiritually? That we tend to have pretty good mechanisms to understand when we're hungry, that we hear our stomach growl, or we know how long it's been since we last ate. We tend to have a good idea of when we're mentally drained, that we get headaches, or your brain feels like mush. But we tend to do a very poor job of understanding when we're spiritually empty. That we tend not to notice when we're spiritually empty. And the way you know that, is when you see having grace for people ends up being much more difficult. Loving people becomes much more difficult. You see yourself quick to anger. You see yourself maybe a little fried out, maybe a little burned out. It's like those Snicker commercials that talk about you're acting like someone else when you're hungry, and so you have a Snickers, and then you become yourself again. It's that same way spiritually, that when you're spiritually empty, to live out God's call, to live out a life full of grace and truth becomes really difficult. because we want to show grace to people, but we're spiritually empty. And so it becomes very, very difficult to do just on willpower alone. When we're trying to live out grace and truth together and understand and discern how we're supposed to do that with friends and loved ones, with our family, we want to do that like Jesus did, because it's very difficult when we're spiritually empty. When we're spiritually full, that's when you see the fruits of the Spirit manifesting themselves in your life. That all of a sudden, the ability to love just becomes quicker. Having patience when things don't go your way, instead of bursting out in anger, you say, wow, I had some patience there. Or gentleness, having self-control, all the fruits of the Spirit, you see those manifesting in yourself. So find ways to feed yourself spiritually. The way I see this, if you feel like you're not being spiritually fed, is that you're at a buffet table, you're at the Old Country Buffet or wherever you go for a buffet, and you're sitting at a table with an empty plate. And you're saying, man, I'm hungry, but no one's put food in my mouth. But there's a whole bunch of delicious food. You just got to go up there and put some on your plate and eat it. So hopefully Sunday morning is a chance for you to do that, to fill up spiritually. And so we hope that that time of worship and communion and everyone who speaks up here hopefully is communicating God's word to you in a powerful way. And we have fellowship time together and community time together, where hopefully on a Sunday morning you're really being filled up and filled spiritually. But just like you wouldn't eat one big meal, Sunday brunch, and then not eat the rest of the week, the same way you need to be filling yourself up spiritually. That connecting to Jesus, so Jesus as the bread of life, we need to be doing that spiritually, connecting to Jesus every day to sustain ourselves so that we can live a life full of grace and truth. So that means spending time with God. Maybe it's prayer, meditation, reading your Bible. Maybe it's being a part of a Bible study, a small group, one of our growth groups. Maybe that's listening to worship music. Maybe that's listening to other sermons online or on the radio. Maybe it's reading Christian books. Maybe it's talking with a friend or a loved one about how you're feeling, about your Christian walk, and encouraging one another. There's many different ways. There's a buffet out there of resources available to us to be filled up spiritually. Too often we think that we need to be spoon-fed when we can go there and fill up our plate for ourselves. That just like if we were trying to go through life and not eating very well, we would kind of sputter out, or if we're not taking mental breaks, we would start making mistakes and wouldn't be able to live our life the way we want to, because we wouldn't be able to function mentally. The same thing spiritually. We need to be filling ourselves up spiritually. That to live the life that we want to live, following Jesus, loving other people, living a life full of grace and truth, we need to be filled up. And the beautiful thing is that all we have to do is go to Jesus for that. Connecting to Jesus fills us up to do that. So when you feel that, man, I'm not connecting to God very well, or you're starting to pick up on the signals that I think I'm spiritually drained, start understanding and picking up on some of those signals. And say, I need to connect to God to be filled up. God wants to fill you up. Jesus is the source of that. That's what Jesus is the bread of life means, that he's the source of that for you. Go to that source again and again and again. Like Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Those who come to me will not go hungry. That buffet line of Jesus doesn't end. It keeps going. And so you fill yourself up and you say, oh, I got some room left. I'm going to fill up again and fill up again and fill up again. You keep going. That resource doesn't end. It doesn't get exhausted. It's always there for you. So pick up on when you're spiritually drained. Connect to Jesus. Do that on a Sunday morning. Hopefully here at Trinity Vineyard, we're creating an atmosphere where you can really do that well. but find ways throughout the week to also be doing that. So you're filled. And when we're filled, and we have the gifts of the Spirit kind of just flowing out of us, and it becomes a much different story than when we're just drained and empty. When we have the gifts of the Spirit flowing out, then we end up feeding others, and we end up helping other people. That sometimes we need to be filled, and sometimes we're there to then help other people because we're already filled. That we've had our fill, and so we have love and peace and joy, and that's just flowing out of us, and other people get to benefit from that. That's a picture of the church. That's a picture of what we're here together, is that some of us are empty, some of us are full, and we encourage one another. We're there for one another. And then hopefully at some point when that's reversed, we're there for each other again. Find ways to fill yourself up. Find ways to be spiritually filled so that we can live a life full of grace and truth and be there for one another. Please rise. I want to ask God to fill us up right now with his Holy Spirit. Lord, let your kingdom come. We ask your Holy Spirit come here, right now. Fill us up. Fill us to the brim spiritually, Lord. If we're walking around and we're spiritually drained, we just ask for you. Fill us up. Fill us up with you. We want to be filled. We want gifts of the Spirit to be flowing through us. Lord, we thank you so much that we can come to you and always be filled. That you are our bread of life, that we can go to you again and again and be filled and filled again. We ask that you fill us all right now. Allow us to live lives full of grace and truth, full of love, full of compassion for other people. Allow your light to reflect off of us. Allow us to be light in the darkness. Allow us to bring your hope and your joy and your love to places and people who really need it. Lord, we want to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. Allow us to do that better. Allow us to learn and grow so that your kingdom is moving in mighty, mighty ways. That we can serve you and bring glory to you in mighty, mighty ways. Fill us right now, Lord. Fill us to the top. Allow us to be overflowing with you. And allow us to continue to understand better who you are, understand your scriptures, understand your Holy Spirit, and understand your vision for our lives. Fill us for this week. Provide opportunities for us to stay filled to the brim, full of you. We pray that all in Jesus' name. Amen.